Let's read 49, verse 5 of Isaiah, 5, 6, and 7, beginning at verse 5. And now, saith the Lord, that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him, though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldst be my servant, to raise up the captive, to restore the preserved of Israel, light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel, and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, the servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise, princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel, he shall choose thee. All right, verse 5, the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant. In this case, it might refer to the Lord Jesus Christ, is that right? It could refer to the prophet Isaiah, but him that formed me from the womb. The Lord Jesus, how was he born? Like normal people? Virgin birth, that was absolute miracle. There was no birth like it, never before, never since. Is it the same as cloning? No, it has nothing to do. It's a different thing completely. God just did the job. And though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in his eyes, the eyes of the Lord. My God shall be my strength. Now, when will Israel be gathered? When will Israel, are they gathered now before the Lord? No, there's gathered, but it's not the Lord's gathered. When will they be? During the tribulation and before the millennial reign of Christ, and during the millennial reign, they will be gathered. And we see in Isaiah many passages that talk about that regathering. One of our ladies at Wendy's just last Sunday asked, do I believe that there's a future for Israel? I said, oh yes, there definitely is a future for Israel. See now, does Mr. Camping believe there's a future for national Israel on WKDN? No. Does he believe there's a future for national Israel? No, he does not. He believes national Israel is fulfilled in what? National Israel, all the promises of Israel are fulfilled in the church, those are the believers today. So he spiritualizes and allegorizes the Old Testament passages that are very clear as far as Israel's regathering. It says right here, they will be regathered, though they not be gathered now, it shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And so there's going to be a regathering one day. Yes? Well, I think that's the beginning. Well, I think the beginning, who is composed? What's the composition of the 144,000? Male version, 12 tribes, 12,000, 12,000 for every one of the 12 tribes, 144,000. Now, what cult today thinks they are the 144,000? The Jehovah's Witness. Are they? All right. Prove that they're not. What is our proof? What is it? Number more than that. That's number one. Number two, after tribulation. Number three, what are their tribes? Are they Israelites? They're not Israelites. If they carry their polygamy, and they're not virgins. See, it says they're virgins. In other words, these are completely, these folks are married, many of them, not all of them, but see, so in other words, there's all kinds of things. They're Israel, they're all things, and they're not the 144,000. What is the purpose of this 144,000? Now, as Will said, are they the regathering? Is it just part of it? They're the witness around the world, see, 12,000. Now, right now, we know that there are many methods of witness that Paul didn't have in his day, am I right? And Peter, what are the additional methods that are now upon witness to the world, witnessing for the world? Yeah. We are, all right. Well, Paul was, and we are, so that's similar. What other? That's right, that's one. Radio is one. Paul didn't have it. Computer, they didn't have computer. Internet, that's computer. It's for filth, but also for the Lord. It can be used either way. U.S. mail, he didn't have that. He had the Jerusalem Post, which is camels, whatever, not very much. All these things, see, marvelous things. Satellites up there, able to beam things. So the 144,000, we couldn't conceive of this, could we? I mean, I was growing up and saved as 1944 as a high school senior, and why back in 1944, Winnie said, I know how old you are when you're married, because she looked at that wedding dress, she said, that's the dress of the 40s, see? Well, in the 40s, because of the style, I'm not stylistic, but she certainly is, but in the 40s, we couldn't conceive, it was just barely having television. Couldn't comprehend. That's right. Now, television, black and white, just came in, and I came home from college, you know, University of Michigan in the summers, I'd look at that thing, you know, pretty soon I look so much, you get sick of it. It's nothing but cowboys and what was I doing? I think they did. That's the only time I remember. When did television come in? That's a good question. After 46. As far as the correcting, you mean? we had in our house, now maybe she had a Christian home, see? Her folks were Christians through and through. My mom was saved, but she was going to the Methodist Church, compromised, and so on. My dad was lost. So we were one of the first people that ever had television. Believe me, we had it. And I remember coming home, and that's no other time. Well, I may have been in Dallas. All right, if it's in Dallas. All right, we'll have to look that up. I went to University of Michigan from 1945 to 48. And then I went to Dallas 48 to 53. Now, when was it? 53? After 46. I could have had it in Michigan. All right, and we did. Anyhow, be that as it may, all these things were absolutely unheard of. That's the point. But one day that Israel will be regathered, and the 144,000, as well as asked, is just simply the beginning. That's the beginning. That's the seed plot. And when you sow seed, you know, the crops come up, and for the sowing the seed for the regathering. And yes, that's right. Yeah, right, exactly. That's right. The whole world will see. Just think of cable news network, and now MSNBC, and there's a third one? Fox, huh? CNBC. See, all these are worldwide, aren't they? They got worldwide connections. You see what's happening all over. Well, they're going to be regarding space. Oh, yeah, space is another thing. Shoot back and signal from space, that's right. And telemetry, and it's a terrible tragedy, that space accident that they had, and so on and so forth. Yes, we should remember the families of those that were in space. Some have said they were, I heard one news, people said they were doomed from the very morning that they went out at 16 days because of this thing that hit the thing. But today I noticed the head man is saying, well, look at this. This is just a little bit of a fluff, and so just padding, and it's not heavy enough to do any damage. Well, it's going so many miles an hour, and furthermore, if it's ice, they felt it was frozen solid. You know, a frozen solid thing that big, going at the speed they're traveling, they could do a lot of damage. So anyhow, but they're saying that's not the real reason. So who knows? They haven't come up with it. They're all guessing. But they will be regathered, Israel, one day, and it says in Scripture, a nation shall be born in a day. A nation. And the Lord Jesus, you remember in the book of Matthew, said, they shall not henceforth see me until what? Until they say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And so in Romans 9, 10, and 11, Romans is Israel's past, and Romans 10 is Israel's present, Romans 11 is Israel's future, and there's a great deal, deliver will come out of Zion, and just snatch that people, those people into salvation. They'll be saved. Not all, but I mean the majority of them, the great nation, will be born, and they'll be the ones that'll be the head, not the tail, as it is. Yes, well, it is, that's true, but it's in seed form, but of course, I believe the scriptures would mean it would be a nation born in belief. In other words, accepting the Redeemer. Now, it started, I mean, it gives us more faith, doesn't it? Because the secularists and the Zionists have formed Israel. What date was that they formed? Remember? 1948. That's a good year. That's the day we were married. The year we were married, 48. And that's a lot of things happened in 48, including that. But Israel was formed. And then in verse 6, it's a light thing that I should say to my servant to raise up tribes of Jacob. Restore to pursue. Now, that restore, again, what would that refer to? And who are the preserved of Israel? Where was Israel, the southern tribes, destined to go because of their sins? Southern two tribes. They were going to Babylonia, over there. That's right. They were destined to go over there. And the northern ten tribes had already been carried into what part? Assyria, right over here to Assyria. And so here it says that thou shouldst be not be gathered, and in verse 6, to restore the preserved of Israel. Now, it's interesting. In verse 6, there seems to be a prediction of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he called here? Almost speaking to Christ himself. You remember the New Testament that refers to this and quotes this? I will give also thee for a light to the Gentiles. That verse 6, the light for Gentiles is referred to in other places, Isaiah, the Tamasi, for a light. And the New Testament also refers to that as well. So this is the Savior. In what way was the Lord Jesus a light? We have to get to the God the Father through him. He's called the light, isn't he? In John 8:12b, let's say that. John 8:12b. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And in him was life, and the life was the light of man. Yes, the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's right. And but they didn't receive the light because they were in the darkness. That's why they didn't want to see. But he came as a light to the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Are any Gentiles present? We're Gentiles, heathen people. But now, if we're saved, we're Christians, we're no longer Gentiles. But we're background is Gentile. The other people, background Jew. And so, a light for the Gentiles. Now, in the Old Testament, who was the principal group that God was speaking to? The Jews. They were the principal group. Not because he didn't love the world, but because they didn't listen to him. He just raised up a people. You remember, in the first part of Genesis, he spoke to the whole world, and look what happened. They were wicked, and had to descend the flood. And that's right. We would have been out in the cold, because we'd have been heathen, worshiping idols, and the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything. In Genesis, it was the nations, and then the flood came and judged, and then God says, I'm sick and tired of just speaking. Hold, I'm going to pick out one man, one nation, picked Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, there were the children of Israel, said, I'm going to deal with my plan through this people. Now, they could tell others, were there other Gentiles in the Old Testament even that became saved and were converts to the faith of Israel? Name me a few. There were some. Well, Paul was certainly one in the New Testament, that's right. He was a Jew, though, was saved, though. Correct. You know any Gentiles that have come? Titus? Well, he was half and half. His mother was he. I'm not sure. Yeah, I guess he was a Greek. But it was Timothy that was half Jew and half Greek. What about Rahab the harlot in the book of Joshua? She was a Gentile, and she trusted the Lord God of Israel and turned her life around. How about Ruth, the Moabite? Moabite. He's a heathen person. But in other words, it wasn't that it was without a possibility that the heathen, the Gentiles, would come to the saving faith in Israel's God, but some did. But it's basically, he came for a light for the Gentiles. Remember, it says in the book of Romans chapter 11 that there's a one branch of the olive tree, and Israel was broken off because of unbelief, and we were grafted in, Gentiles grafted in. And then God says, be careful. You Gentiles are grafted into this wonderful tree of salvation that you don't lower your chances. In other words, because God's able to pull you out of that thing too, so just be careful what you do with my salvation with my son. But a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation. Now, what in verse 6 gives the scope of God's salvation? To how many people does God want to be saved? All right, all the end of the world. What do the hyper-Calvinists say that the scope of salvation? Just the elect. How do they define the elect? That's right. How do they define what they mean by the elect? All right, chosen by God before everybody. And what about the non-elect? Can they be saved? No. According to the hyper-Calvinists, strong Calvinists, the non-elect can never be saved. Can you tell the non-elect that Christ died for their sins? According to the hyper-Calvinists, no, you can't. No, you can say it, but they don't believe it. A one who really believes that there's only a certain group that God picked out, Christ didn't die for the other sin, and you can't say Christ died for your sins because you don't know it. So then they just say in general. You notice how Mr. Camping, Harold Camping, as he talks about the thing, and I don't listen to much, but occasionally I'm on the car and I'm back and forth Philadelphia here from Bible Baptist Institute, and I listen to him. If he's on, I listen. Never says Christ died for your sins. I talk about salvation. Well, just have a feeling you want to be saved. It's just sort of a mystic fit here, but the Gentiles, that salvation unto the end of the earth. Oh, everyone that thirsteth, let him come unto the water and drink. Come unto me, all ye that what? Labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It's all, see, all. Yes, said Jill. I think they do. I think, now, you see, the thing about it is, if you get a real hyper-Calvinist group, they don't really have any motivation to win. I mean, how would you?
Yeah.
See?
Yes,
billions is right. Yes.
Why?
Yes. Yes, so, right. That's right. He'll take care of it himself. Let him do it, see? It's a real fatalistic situation. It really is. Now, I believe God has, in the scriptures, talked about the word elect and election, but as I've said many times before, I think it's a corporate election. It's a body. He elected, chose Israel as a group, not that all Israel was saved. I think he chose the church as a group, and he chose them from before the foundation of the world as an elect body, a group. And every one of us who's trusted Christ as Savior and redeemed are members then. We're in that group that was joined from before the foundation of the world. Yeah, but that doesn't preclude any of us not wanting to trust Christ as Savior. All of us are eligible for salvation. That's the difference. That's what we think the Bible teaches. By the way, we forgot to tell you about Sherry, who's up in Allentown. Sherry and her husband, Sam, is about Tom. I can't think of the last name. Sherry and Tom Walk. W-A-L-K. It's a little different spelling. She's been listening to my wife on the internet, on the Just for Women, on the tape, the message. On that occasion, she'd listen to me and so on. And she called us. She said, you know, I've been listening to that via. What a blessing. And my wife's message has been to the lady, and she just wanted to know how things were going. She said she couldn't find a real good church there. We said we have our videos if you're interested. But she also said that my wife then told her, talking to her, since she gave a compliment to her program, I got her on the line. She said, we're going to Allentown. That's Sunday. Last Sunday we were there. And she said, we're just an hour from Allentown. Let's go. And they came. They came to hear us. My wife talked to them at length. I talked to them a little bit afterwards. And they're very, very interested in the things of the Lord. Now, she asked me about Calvin because they're from the Calvinist background. I told her on the phone. I said, we're Baptist now. So we believe Christ died for the sins of the world. And so she was open to it. She's from that variety of things. But she liked it especially because we were preaching the Word of God. We're studying the Script. That's what she liked about the message here. My wife's some different ones. So she asked about Calvinism and what I thought about it and so on. But the end of the world, salvation of the end of the age. And that's important, isn't it? Yes, Don? Up in Allentown, north of Allentown somewhere. Big of all offering? Yeah. Because the winter, a lot of work. Yeah, so Tom walked. And so, you know, I knew that they might come. I didn't think they would come to these meetings in Allentown. I spoke on the antidote to apostasy. I just preached the word verse by verse. I went right straight through 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 to the end. Just touched on a few things, but I had the outline of different things. And in the course of things, I didn't know they were there. In the course of things, I just simply said, now, the Calvinists say God just died for the elect. He died for the whole world. Yeah, I just told them, just like I always do. Afterwards, there they were. So we talked about the situation. Yes. Oh, they understand. I think they're teachable. If God so loved the world, I said, I realize they say the world of the elect. I believe he loved the world. And I think Christ died for the sins of the world. Not that I told her, not that everybody's saved. A lot of times the hyper-Calvinists say, oh, if Christ died for the sins of the world, all are saved. No, no. The offer is there. Now you got to receive it. Yes, free will. That's right. The Son. I agree with two if you define them right. The 5 points of Calvinism, T-U-L-I-P, the tulip. If you define total depravity, that's all right. Meaning you all are sinners. If you define it right. P, preservation of the saints, if you mean they preserve to be saved. Once you're saved, always saved. Eternal security. These other three, no. Especially that L in the middle, limited atonement. Christ only died for the sins of the elect. That's very serious. Even Dallas Seminary, that believed these other 4 points, was strong against this point. And Dr. Schaefer in his theology died for the sins of the world. But if you take away the limited atonement, these other points sort of fall also. So the Calvinists are very angry at anybody who takes away the L for limited atonement. But the U, unconditional election, and the I, irresistible grace, these sort of fall along. If you don't define I, T right, though, total depravity. See, total depravity. Yeah, 4 points without the L. Yeah, yeah, that's the L limit. But you see, if you don't define the T for the total depravity, they define it as not total depravity. All of us are wicked sinners, can't do anything to save ourselves. They say total inability to even believe. See, if you hear Mr. Camping, he says, oh, faith is a work, can't be saved by works, and your faith is work. Well, wait a minute. Faith is the opposite of works. By grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works. So it's just but if you redefine that in the right way, total depravity means all are sinners and lost and can't save themselves except by faith in Christ, then I believe T. The P, if you look at some of the Presbyterians and the total depravity, the people that are hyper-Calvinists, they say preservation of the saints means you've got to hang on, preserve your salvation, work hard to be sure you're saved at the end of the line. I don't believe that at all. If you mean to define preservation of the Savior, once you're in Christ, you're saved and preserved for eternity, I will accept that. So it's all how you define these things. Irresistible grace means that you can't resist God's salvation. You've got to be saved whether you want to be saved or not. See, and I don't believe that's true scripture. Yes, you don't control. See, exactly. Now, if that's really true, why wasn't Pharaoh saved? And why? And also, it's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. If he wanted to force somebody into it with irresistible grace, then we do it. Furthermore, if you these people that are total, hyper-Calvinists, believe in this irresistible grace, if you can't help but be saved, what's the matter with their lives? Some of the total hyper-Calvinist lives are the most wicked I've ever seen. I say they drink, they carouse, they swear, they smoke. Oh, I'm all right. I'm one of the elect. They don't seem to care what they live like. See, I mean, but it's true a lot of people. But I'm saying if God was in the business of irresistibly forcing them to be saved, why wouldn't he also force them to live for Christ and please the Lord? That's what the Lord God wants out of them. See, it's just, he's created us a free moral agent. Yep, Jill, and then son. Well, exactly. How did God create us? A machine or free? How did God create Adam and Eve? How can you prove that he created us free? Adam and Eve. How can you prove? They sinned, son. Did God want them to sin? No. Could he have stopped him from sinning? If he'd wanted to create him that way, yes. But did he stop him? No. Yes, son.
The first Reverend
Whosoever thirst.
First come, that is right.
Yes. Freely. That's right. That's a good verse. Do the hyper-Calvinists like that verse? No. See, that's too simple. It's not, that gives them out of business. All right, Vaughn? Some of them, that's true. That's true. In fact, that one man that we talked to, and he was in one of my classes, seminar classes one time, and he's from this background in the elect and so on. He doesn't know whether he can be saved or not. We pled with him. My wife and I said, believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. Trust him. We took him out to dinner one time. So I don't know whether I can believe. I don't know whether I'm one of the elect. I'm scared to death to trust in Christ. For fear he was because of what he's been taught. And it's a terrible thing. Albert. Oh, yes. The one with the coat. The coat man. Yeah, he was a strong Calvinist. Yeah, he believed it. Huh? The Twig, man. Mr. Richard Twig. That's right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, see. That one Sunday. That's right. And that's right. And he went. But he knew beforehand, because we discussed it. I said, and he talked back and forth, and so he believed that Christ only died for the sins of the elect. But it's an interesting thing. God made us. Why did he make men free? Why did he want his creatures to be free? Why? Is there anything to his advantage to have us free rather than slave, automaton, machinery? So if it's not forced love, what is it? Free will love. If you were forced to love somebody and they knew it, how do they receive that forced love? It's sour. It's not true. It's not genuine. All right. That's why it's wonderful to want to do something, to want to come here to the service, for instance, to want to read your Bible, to want to pray. I mean, to have the desire, to want to eat food. I mean, anything. It's free. And if God has made us free to either love him or hate him, to either serve him or not serve him. See, when we really genuinely serve him because we love him, we want to. That's the greatest praise that he can have. That's wonderful. The Lord is rejoicing in that. Yes, son. That's right. Oh, you can. Got to be from within, and God. got to receive him by faith. And so salvation in verse 6 is unto the ends of the earth. And then in verse 7, thus saith the Lord. What are some of the titles of the Lord in this verse 7? The Redeemer, Holy One of Israel, all right? And the Lord, the first one. And what he's saying, the Holy One, to turn whom man despised. Now, it seems like he's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, this one. Here's the Lord, the Father, saying the Redeemer is to him whom man despises. Did anybody despise the Lord Jesus Christ? Why did they despise him? Was he wicked? Was he sinful? He was righteous. Well, why would a person despise a righteous person? Does people despise you if you're righteous sometimes? What? The truth hurts. Remember it says in the Isaiah 53, it talks about being despised and they spit upon him. And he was rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. To whom the nation abhorreth. Do nations love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do the United Nations love him? Do they put him first? No, they have all kinds of false gods. A servant of rulers. Be great. Get out of that. Get us out. UN, I mean, it's just a terrible, terrible. We saw them debating. We saw Colin Powell. Regardless of what we think about the war, this way or that way, he presented the case. And then different other ones, you know, France and Germany and Russia and all these people in Iraq and so forth. And then all of a sudden my wife said, what are these Africans? Here they are in our country, poor as church mice, telling us what to do and how to do it. But that's what the United Nations is. All these little nations and big nations. It's a debating society. I know that. Oh, you better believe it. The leaders have got a few shekels, haven't they? Exactly right. And they're paid well. And they live in nice homes and eat well, I'm sure. And they fatten themselves up, I'm sure. Oh, really? Is that right? Is that right? So everybody could eat and so on. Well, a servant of rulers. The Lord Jesus is a servant. A king shall see and arise. Now, what would make a person arise? Even a king would arise? Normally, what happens when kings enter a room? Somebody bows down, they arise. What happens when judges enter the courtroom? Fed up. In the olden days, what used to happen when teachers entered the classroom? They used to be. That was ancient history. No more. That's what's wrong. No respect. But isn't that why we rise in the courtrooms when the judge comes? To respect. It's respect. And Anthony, have you ever found a judge coming in and nobody rises? You've been a lawyer for all these years? Everybody. Now, even the lawyers have to rise too? They do. All right. Normally rise. Johnny?
We don't come stand up at all.
That's true. You remember the Johnny? Stand in the corner. He's bad, see? I'm standing in my heart. Sitting in the corner, but standing in the heart. That's the opposite. You can't force people to respect for the office. And that's why we say hail to the chief, not to have to like a particular man who happens to be the president, but the office and so on. And so we're respect. And just king shall see and arise. What is a title for the Lord Jesus Christ? King of kings. What does king of kings mean? Tops. Of all the kings, he's king. Lord of lords. What does that mean? Yeah, king of pop, my own. What is Lord of... Is that Elvis? Is he supposed to be that? Oh, Michael Jackson. What a pathetic situation we have there. Don't even go there. That's right. That's a terrible, disgraceful thing. No. It's sad. It really is. Man, well, that's the thing. We don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. So, what is Lord of Lords mean? Top Lord. The Lord of all the Lords. He's the master of all the Lords. And kings shall see and arise. What does it say in Philippians 2? At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in earth, things above the earth, over the earth, and confess that what? Jesus is Christ the Lord, glory of God the Father. Now, that's going to be a day, and it's going to be not just the mean and lowly people like the rest of us here. It's going to be the bigwigs, going to be kings, emperors, and rulers, mighty people. Oh, no. Oh, that's right. Oh, it's Melech. Well, I don't know. Ruler's king, I don't know why that would be. It's just, king is, I want to say Melech, yeah, prince, and redeemer, Lord, the Holy One. Well, that's true, but maybe they just, yes. Well, maybe because it's a capital of a phrase. See, it's the beginning of a phrase. Maybe. For instance, in verse 9, where it says, show yourselves. See that capital S? It's after a comma, Will. And maybe after this comma, a servant of rulers, you know, sort of a beginning of a new sentence. Yeah, new thought. I think that might be it. And then princes also shall worship. That's in verse 7, and then verse 9, show thyself, comma, and then show capital S. So it could be just the new thought, see. But princes shall worship. What is a prince? What is a prince? A king's son, that's right. Son of a king. Are we children of king, Lord of Lords? So in a sense, we're prince and princes. But these princes shall worship. Why, in verse 7, will the princes worship? The Lord is faithful. What does it mean to have a faithful Lord? Always there. Still? Well, they just never went in. Because probably after that comma, after rulers, maybe it's a new thought. See? Yeah. See, and that's what Will was asking. And if you go in verse 9, see verse 9? Verse 9, Jill, it says, show thyself.
Page I asked her.
Oh, that's all right.
What do you think about that?
So, You see, verse 9, Jill, verse 9, see the comma before show thy, show yourselves. It's capital S on show. So that's probably at the end of a thought, see. And he's faithful. The Lord is faithful. What New Testament verse talks about him being faithful? Among other things, a lot of verses. All right, John, 1 John 1, 9 says what? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Who is the we referred to? But who's the us? Everybody in the world? Believers, saved people, ones that are children of God by faith. We confess he's faithful to forgive us our sins. We confess. Now, we said many times that word confess, two Greek words, homo, logeo. Homo is same, logeo is to say. To say the same thing about that sin that God says. It means to agree with God that what we've said, what we thought, what we've done is sin. That's confession. This is just a bunch of words, you know, like the Roman Catholic priest said, confession, blah, 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 blah. No, it's, I agree, Lord, what I thought is sin, what I've done is sin, what I've said is sin. That's confession. Then he's faithful to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so God is faithful. Then the Holy One of Israel. Notice in verse 7, he's called the Redeemer. We've said this before, but what, in what way is the Lord a Redeemer? What is redemption? Salvation, all right? And re is back or again, and emptio is to buy, and to buy back those that were lost. You know, in the New Testament, the word there is to buy back on the slaves, like an open market, that word for redeem. They used to auction up men. The big strapping men, they get a higher price. Women, be a certain price, and boys, a certain price. And so the redemption would be to buy them off the slave market. And a redeemer would take and buy that boy, that girl, that man, that woman back, and make him either free or a servant of them. And so that's the picture, the word picture of the New Testament word for redeem, redemption. Yes, that's right, because they had a 7-year time. The Jubilee, especially in their year of Jubilee, they'd go free if they wanted to go free, but if they didn't go free, they said all through the year. If they went in with a wife, they could take the wife out. But if when they were in servitude, they got a wife, children, and they left out, what happens to the wife and children? She stayed in, unless she says, I love my children, I love my wife. That's the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ of Calvary. Dr. M. R. D. Hahn, the founder of the Radio Bible, as I remember, always used to give us as an illustration. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I'm not going to leave. I'm going to stay a servant so that I keep my bride, save people. I'm going to stay a God-man and body. He's not going to be back into God, a deity again, and it was God to be spirit, but he's going to stay because he loves us and he wants to keep us. And we will know him. We will see him. It says, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Can you see God the Father? No, but you can see, and the men did see God the Son. It says in Colossians, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, bodily, in Christ. So if we can see, and we can know, we can touch, we can feel. And so he said, I'm not going to go free, stay. And that's form that God had made as far as Redeemer, and perfect God, perfect man. The Holy One of Israel, verse 7, he shall choose thee. Then verse 8, 9, and 10, let's read those together. Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall never hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor the sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. We're going to start with verse 6, Lord willing, next week. Do you have any other further comments before we close? Yeah, Jill? 1927. Yes. I think, Jill, this is, of course, Old Testament. They did have beards, and they didn't around the corner, or mar the corners. Apparently, they didn't want to have round heads. You know, it'd be a horrible thing to see, you know, sort of round. It's enough with a bowl cut, but a certain style of cutting their hair, I think that's what they're referring. I don't think they necessarily had long hair like Jesus supposed to with all these pictures. I think they had shorter hair, but they had to take care properly of their head and of their beard so there's not a mess. No, it's just the way they cut it. The trimming it in style. I think that's what, yes, I think so. Yes, something.
Samson.
Yes. Well, he was a Nazarite. See, the Nazarites were, we did have long hair. That's right. Numbers chapter 6 deals with Nazarites, yeah. And the long hair, they couldn't eat kernels of the grapes or the dried grapes or moist grapes or anything of the wine. The mother couldn't, they couldn't, and so he couldn't either. And so that was a sign. That's why it was such a horrendous thing. It was a Nazarite. It was a talk of the town. Look at that fellow. Long hair. The reason it was different is because all the other men had short hair. The shorter hair then. I mean, they may have not long. Well, because this was a Nazarite of the Lord, especially for strength. See, and the Lord said, as long as you have that long hair and do not cut it, then I will be with you. See, but when he violated his long hair oath, then God went from him. The strength went from him. Well, that's true, but he should have been not fooling around with so many women. That's right. Delilah, that's right, Delilah. See, there was Delilah and the barber that she hired. Yes.
That's right, Delilah. Oh, yes, they were Jews. Yeah. But you see, the Lord Jesus, they say, was Nazareth. He was not. He was from Nazareth. He was a Nazarene, but not a Nazarite. See, and therefore, he did not have necessarily long hair. I believe it was just like the regular Germans, regular Romans of the day. You see pictures all over in secular writing, but the hair was short. But these Hollywood people making it with long hair, it's not right. Oh, yes, he had a beard. They plucked off his beard. That's why I plucked his beard. And so, different men, there's nothing. But the hair, he's not a Nazarite. See, they say, oh, he's a Nazarite, therefore he's got to have long hair. No, Nazarene, from Nazareth. Yeah, the Albert, I have heard. Yes. Yeah. You know, there's black Jews. I don't know what they are. I don't know who they are.
I couldn't go
without heard my brother. Yeah, that's right. All right, that's good. Yeah, Von? Haile Selassie? Yes, Haile Selassie from Ethiopia. Was it? Black Jewish. Maybe be Jewish from proselytes, see, rather than freeborn, because actually Ham was the black racist, and Japheth and then Shem was the Jewish race. So it's by proselyting. I think that's how they, because they don't cross into those breeds.